Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We ask that you will bless this offering and bless those who can give and those who cannot give. And we ask that you would multiply them for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would the children come and join us? Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. This is my friend Russ. Everybody say hi, Russ.
Hi, Russ.
Hello.
We have something to show you today. This guy is really little, isn't he? You see how little he is?
Yes.
What does he look like? He's like a little tiny baby, right? If he was a real baby, right, at this size, he would still be inside his mommy's tummy. And in a few months, he would be born and be outside his mom. Now, babies are very little before they're born. Russ, do you think you were ever this little when before you were born?
Oh, yes, I was once that little before I was born. How about you guys? Were you ever that little?
Yes.
You think you were this little?
Well, it's true. You were this little. I once was this little. Even though I'm all grown up now. Everyone starts out this little. Then what happens to us Do we stay this little?
No.
No?
No?
Are you sure?
What do we do?
Shh. What do you do? What happens?
You're right. We get bigger. How do babies get bigger?
Anybody know? How do you get bigger? Food? Water?
Sunlight.
Birthdays?
Sunlight.
Sunlight?
Like plants.
Go ahead, Joshy. What do you got? What's that? Snow? What's that? Fruit? Yeah, good. Growing. Like growing, right.
Yes, they eat and they sleep, and that makes them grow bigger. Do you think God planned for us all to start out very little and then to grow bigger?
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Think God planned all that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a baby in the Bible that we talked about at Christmas time. Does anybody know who
Jesus.
It was? Jesus. That's right. Jesus was his name. You think he started out this little? As this little guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless something holy happened.
Yeah. Well, he did start out this little. And then he was born. And then he ate and he slept. And he got sunshine and snow and birthdays. And he grew bigger and bigger and stronger just as we do. And the Bible says that all the time that Jesus was growing and he was getting bigger and stronger, God loved him. And God loves all of us from the time we're this little to the time we're grown up and big and older like we are. And most of they are. So why don't we pray about how God loves us while we're growing up? Uh-huh. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for making us to start out as a very, very little baby before we are born, and then for helping us to grow bigger and stronger after we are born, and as we grow, and for loving us all through that time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I don't know if there's children's church today. Probably not. Yes, there is? Okay, there's children's church. And there's snacks there. Bobby's handing them out.
Now, I have to admit, we came in here late last night to practice the men's group, and as you have noticed, Blake took that to heart with his yes and his no's very clearly. That cracked me up. But I would first like to say, something that struck me yesterday. I had the honor to serve the family of our dear sister Irene, and I was truly blessed by what I saw. I seen what it truly means to be blessed with a crown of white on her head. Her love for Jesus shone not only in her life and for many of us that had known her, but to see the generations of love that were in the family that were down as when they came back to celebrate her life. And to remember her life. And I pray that we all will equally be blessed to reach that goal. And I just wanted to point that out. And then also, as we already have, I just wanted to also continue to praise God for lifting up Sunny during her time away from us. That our flock here has taken the opportunity to step up and fill in the gap, but also to pray for her full recovery, which is obviously evident at this point. So hallelujah and praise God. So that way when she comes back as our shepherd, she will be, again, 100 times better than when she first left here a couple days ago. Now, with filling up the gap, we are the body of Christ, and I believe that we are about to come into an awesome endeavor. What I mean by that is that we have the opportunity as the band of brothers to come and to serve you today. But we have several who will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I would pray and encourage everyone to come and to hear what each of us has to say. The words of encouragement, something that may have happened in a particular person's life. I don't know what their sermons will be. But come and be encouraged and be lifted up by what we all have to say. Till our blessed sister Sunny comes back. And I'm sure that it's going to be an amazing time and an amazing ride for all of us. With today's sermon, I have a quote here from Paul. To all of you here, loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what was at the beginning of all Paul's letters to many of the churches, as many of you know, throughout the lands. Paul was performing the act of intercession. Intercession, as described in the Webster's Dictionary, means entreaty or a pleaful request in favor of another, especially a prayer or petition to God in behalf of another. So Paul assured he placed their needs before his own as an act of encouragement, as an act of lifting them up, knowing all well that each church had their own challenges. And he knew that those challenges need to be confronted up front, but he ensured them that the Lord Jesus Christ was behind them, and that their time there, their perseverance, their challenges as people would approach them. And as we get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us know that it seems as though we get more of a burden. Things sometimes become more difficult. But the grace of God allows us to overcome that. And I'll be honest, this week was one of those weeks to come together and bring a group of men that I love to worship with on Tuesdays, and to put it all together. I'm not going to name any names, but there was three doubtful Thomases that were going to back out today. But through intercession and through prayer and through discussion and just coming together in conversation and an understanding and showing up here last night, Saturday night, proved and showed that we can overcome. The spirit that is within each of us is more powerful than we can imagine. So again, Paul was teaching us about praying for somebody else's needs or comfort, and also taking on a portion of their burdens. There again, that's what we, as fellow followers of Christ, are here for. We all have specific burdens. We all have specific things in our hearts. But we also have joys, and we also have God praises. We have things that are in our hearts. You know, somebody that was born. We have Bobby, who just got engaged. We get to experience all of those through that intercession. And we, as the Band of Brothers, have adopted that. We have put it as an important and an integral part of our weekly studies. Approximately 1 year ago, we started what we called an intermission intercession. Now, I know it sounds kind of odd, but the Spirit spoke to me, and I had this weird description of what I brought to the men when we talked about it. I said, it's sort of like going into a drive-in movie theater. You get to the theater, you find your perfect parking space, you pull up, you're now ready to watch the movie. It might be a one-part, or it might be two features for that evening. But basically, the one movie, you're getting enthralled. You're halfway through. What do they do? Bang. Intermission. Now, what that does is two things. One, it gives you a moment, because at that point of the intercession, what has already occurred in most movies? You're starting to get to the thickening of the plot. You're starting to get to the point where, okay, I want to see more. I want to get to the end of this movie. Or the kids are starting to yell and scream and you just want to get out of there. But the point being is that what do we do during that intermission? We go, we grab a snack. We replenish ourselves. We grab, a pizza, popcorn, additional candies, additional sodas. Or we also get a moment to think about and contemplate what we just saw. We get to digest what we just saw. And we allow that to even build up that excitement even more so. So that when we come back to the second half, we get to enjoy that movie more than we can ever imagine. I mean, it's easy for us to sit there and go through two bags of popcorn and just watch a movie straight through. But do you ever stop and think about that break? And What that break is what we have incorporated. What we do, and again, I don't want to sell this by any means, but what we do is we generally have a 6 to 8 week study course, whether it be through different speakers, pastors, and people of faith, through DVD series, through reading the Word and digesting the Word. And what we have done is every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we take a moment to take an intermission. We take a break from the study. And what we do is we now get to study each other. We get to learn, what did you learn through the past 3 weeks? What is going on in your life? What has happened in your day? What has happened in your week? What has happened in your month? And that gives us an opportunity to, as men, a lot of times, it's not acceptable in society a lot of times for men to be able to put their feelings out there, to put out the things that may be on their hearts, to be able to sing praises, because a lot of times that becomes repressed by society. But what we do then is we get to intercede for each other. We get to pray over each other. We get to pray over the times that are difficult. We get to pray over the times that are, we want to sing to the mountaintops, that God has blessed us with something awesome in our lives. So again, where that comes into play is we get to take on that burden. We get to face that trial. We get to experience everything that each one of these men that I have grown to love, I get to take on a portion of their burden, but they also get to take a portion of my burden on, and we get to take that break. So when we come back into that study group the following week and so forth, we get to experience that love that God has for each of us, that spirit that Jesus has placed inside of us more in depth than we can ever imagine. So all in all, we get to find a refreshing break in our lives. We have been praying about and talking about coming up here and providing, you know, a service of providing a sermon and presenting ourselves as servants to you. And though God works in mysterious ways, that it winds up that, you know, our dearly beloved son, he goes in for surgery. But again, that's why I believe the next 6 weeks are going to be very important for not only just us, but for all those whom will also be coming up to present. If you had a moment, you would take a look. We actually stuck in a second insert for the Band of Brothers. And I must apologize. It's like meeting somebody for the first, you know, for the second or third time after 10 or 15 years. You know their name, but you don't know their name. So I had that moment. I apologize, or Carrie Sterner. I apologize I didn't get your name in on there. All the men that have participated and or have come to be with us, to worship with us, and be a part of that. And the ranges of ages actually go from, we've had as young as 16 to as, well, we'll just say a ripe old age. So we've had, and also, we've been blessed with, we have a total of 7 different churches represented by each of these men. So we're not just here. We are actually able to go out and beyond. So with that said, I just wanted to, as Alan had mentioned, we have a large array of small groups within even our church here that can be something that, you know, for the new members, and for somebody that has been here for a while and God's been speaking to your heart, there is something out there for you that you can participate, that you can do, that you can be encouraged, that you can lift somebody else up. You know, you can start as a member, become a deacon, become an elder. And again, there's many things available. You know, please, again, for those of you who may not be a part of something, I encourage you to do so. And the only reason I say state that is because when I first came into this endeavor, I came off of an awesome walk with Jesus, a place called Emmaus. Now, I know many of you do know that, and many of you do not. But that's where God challenged me. He said, I need you to do something. I need you to start up something in our church to help encourage. You know, there's a deficiency that he felt, that he wanted me to be a part of. And I said, you know what? No, I can't do it. I won't do it. But 2.5 years later, here I am, and it is truly a blessing. It is an amazing endeavor. And, you know, we have the youth group, we have daycare, we have all these awesome things that, I can't fully explain it, but once you feel it, once you experience it, it'll last you a lifetime. It will give you an opportunity to give that to your generations, as I had expressed earlier. Now we find that, you know, prayer isn't, you know, as I was talking about Paul, he basically interceded for many. Now, it isn't just that it's all in the epistles of Paul that you're going to find numerous locations where there was intercession. We go back as far as Abraham. Many of us will recall Abraham stepped in front and prayed to God about sparing Sodom and Gomorrah. As you may recall, he said about, you know, if there's 100 that are righteous, would you destroy them? He would not. If there was 50, and he continued to intercede for them, so they got down to the count of 10. And as many of you know, through Genesis 18, 16 through 24, you will find that Abraham's family, Lot, and his wives were the only ones that were spared. But he interceded for them, because he knew they were there. Also, you will find Moses. Moses interceded for the Israelites several times in trying to turn God's wrath away from what they were doing. And then the ultimate, obviously, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his entire life was interceding for those whom didn't have, for those who had leprosy, for those who were least likely. For sometimes, even in our own lives, we may not approach and pray for them. I had an opportunity the other day. I'm an electrician by trade. I got a phone call from a neighbor. We actually just got done doing some work. And she said the receptacle that we installed, you know, wasn't working. It was our fault. Okay. I went immediately over to see. I found actually it was a bad extension cord. So do not use extension cords, please. But the key point of the story is at the end of that time of going over and taking care of her needs, I happened to be just after the New Year's, and I asked her, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? And I asked her, how was your holiday? How was your Christmas? How was your New Year? And she said, well, unfortunately, my mother just passed away. At that moment, the Lord spoke to me, and I was able to intercede for her. I prayed with her. I asked her, may I pray for you? And she said, yes. And at the end, I also asked her if I may, you know, give her a hug. And what struck me the most was, she said, who would have ever thought that I would find a godly individual right across the street from my own house? That struck me as very, very sobering, because sometimes we don't realize how much even our neighbors need us, how much our neighbors are looking for that opportunity for somebody to pray for them. Because how often do we find ourselves, we won't ask, we won't put it out there. You know, we're just hoping for that moment to arise. So with that, I would encourage, you know, all of us, even this week, to keep our hearts and our minds open to intercede for somebody this week. Because we all are brothers and sisters. We all are looking for something. And for those of the ones that do not know, that's our opportunity. There's our opportunity to intercede and tell them about the good word, about our Lord and Jesus Christ. Another story that came up, one of the members here had told me to check out a movie. It was called Faith Like Potatoes. I think we actually might even have a copy here. Some of you may have seen it. It's another thing that it's about a farmer out in South Africa who was struggling to support his family on his own, and he was just basically at a point at wit's end. His wife actually convinced him, let's go to the local church, see what they have to say. He went, and he found Christ that night. He accepted the Lord, and things started to change for him. His light started to shine, show forth. And the local villagers started to see this. And then one evening, a really bad storm came through. And I don't want to give the movie away, but this young lady happened to be what they believe was struck by lightning. She was not breathing. She was not not alive at that point. They remembered this man that had shown his light. He came, and he interceded. He went in, he told everybody to come out, and he interceded for her. And at that moment, she gasped. She came back to life. She was resurrected at that point, in according to the story, and this is a true story. It's not a fictional story. It's actually based on a real-life individual. So again, I don't want to give away the movie, but I encourage you to take a look at it. But the point is that he proceeded to intercede through faith. You know, here we see people filled with the Spirit performing miracles, just as many of the disciples did. The early disciples, many of them performed miraculous interceding prayer, you know, for those who were in need. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Now, this is not some sort of early TV evangelist where you see people perform unbelievable acts of laying on the hands, people falling down, pulling crutches, the things that were made for TV. I'm actually talking about true intercession. I like statistics and things like that. So another thing I found was interesting. Back in 1949, in Los Angeles, during one of Billy Graham's historic campaigns, there was a large tent that actually housed up to 6,000 people that was filled to capacity every night for 8 weeks. But that's not the best part. They actually had a smaller tent off to the side. That's actually where the power of God was actually happening. That's where the counseling was occurring. That's where the intercessory prayer was occurring. That's where the gospel was really taken off for people that were on their knees. And the heart of that prayer was actually by a local Los Angeles woman by the name of Pearl Good. Now, Pearl was just like Paul, as was written in 1 Colossians 1:3-9. He assured the followers in Christ in Colossae that he and his colleagues were praying for them always, as Pearl was. Also in that same letter, Paul also said to Epaphras, a founder of the Colossian church, that he was always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, in conclusion, my primary point here was that, Sonny had talked about prayer and the importance of prayer for you as an individual. And I also just wanted to step above and beyond how important the intercessory prayer is, how important it is not only to pray for your needs, but for somebody else's, to further them into the likeness of Christ, into being the body of Christ. And I know there's days that, you know, I feel like I'm the heel on that body of Christ. But thank God, I know that there's a pinky up there. I know there's an earlobe up there. I know there's some obscure body part up there that's still praying for me. And then we are praying for you also. So in conclusion, what we have decided to do, the Band of Brothers, what we would like to offer to the congregation is that in that spirit of knowing that if you have something that is of God praise, something that is as joyous in your heart, or something that is binding you down, is holding you back, a physical ailment, a spiritual ailment, anything that may be on your heart, the men would like for anybody in the congregation, you are all welcome to come forward. And we would like to pray for you. We would like to pray for your need. We would like to hear your praise. Now, many of the men here may not know your name. So all I would ask is that as you do come forward, just your first name is fine, if that is acceptable. And we will actually pray for you. We would actually, depending on whom will be coming forward, we will have two rows available. And each of the men would like to, in the spirit, with Jesus in our spirit, pray for you and intercede for you and give you encouragement and lift you up and give you a sense of life today and knowing that I'm going to leave this sanctuary better than what I may have been when I came in. Or, you know, that joyous moment that you have felt this week or this month or this even this year, be even more so. So I thank you for listening to us and allowing us to serve you, but our serving hasn't completed. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to have Josh come forward to provide the benediction. We will not have a final song, but upon completion, we will have the postlude. For those of you who wish not to stay, you know, that is fine. At the end of the postlude, you would be more than welcome to depart in peace. And I will be outside to greet you on the way out. But for anybody who wishes to stay, please, I encourage you to do so.